Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 909 on KDXU. It is Mayor Thursday, but I didn't get a mayor. I got a congresswoman instead. Isn't that? That's like better than a mayor, right? Is it,
I don't know.
I guess it's different. It's apples and oranges, right?
Yeah.
Mayors have their own responsibilities, the things they're responsible for, but you get to represent Utah in the Congress. Celeste Malloy is here. Hi, Celeste.
Good morning, Andy.
You look fantastic as always. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is actually kind of a recess for you, right? You don't have any major responsibilities for a couple of days?
Well, I have major responsibilities. What I don't have is votes. So in August, we don't vote.
Okay.
And all the members of Congress are in their districts working.
Okay.
But that is something I get asked about all the time. Like, don't you guys take August off? No.
Not
really.
Well,
we don't vote in August. In August, we're in our districts. And sometimes we have official travel, other things we have to do. So that gives us a window where we can plan those things, but we're not voting.
Besides doing a silly radio show, what else do you do during your recess?
August, I guess, recess. They
call it. That's kind of not a nice word, because recess, we all think, oh yeah, we're going to go out and play on the swings and,
yeah,
and you know, kick the rubber pink kickball around and stuff. And you're not playing on the swings or kicking the ball, are you?
You know, I probably should be. That would be a much better way to spend a lot of my time. It might relax me more, but no, I spend my time traveling around the district and meeting with people.
Mm-hmm.
I did a town hall here last week.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It went really well. It was good. There were about 140 people there, I think.
Nice.
Standing room only. And that's a big part of my job, is talking to people and giving them a chance to ask me questions and tell me the things they're concerned about.
Right.
So that when I am back in Washington, D.C. and we're not in recess, I can be introducing bills that address the things that people here care about, and I can be voting in a way that represents people here. And the best way to do that is to spend time with people here.
I was talking with Adam Snow yesterday on the show, maybe day before yesterday anyway, and he says what he gets though sometimes in the public meetings, town hall type things, is it gets misplaced anger. People, they don't have anybody to yell at. They can't yell at Joe or Kamala or whoever. And so they come to your meetings and yell at you about them. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, but that's part of the job, too. I mean, Adam Snow's a county commissioner, so there really isn't anything the county can do sometimes about national issues.
Yeah.
But I am, you know, a member of Congress. And if they're mad at President Biden, he doesn't call me and consult me before he makes decisions. But I have a responsibility as part of the legislative branch to act as a check on the executive branch. So if they're mad about something President Biden's doing and they want to show up and yell at me, that is part of my job, to hear what they're saying, why they're angry, and find ways to address it.
Has it been, let's rewind a little bit back to you getting this job. Has it been a whirlwind? I mean, if we rewind 12 months ago, did you have any idea that you were going to be a congressperson?
Well, 12 months ago, I was in the middle of my first race.
Let's go 18 months ago.
Not even a little bit. No clue whatsoever. And I know when I say that, people kind of roll their eyes, because I was working for a congressman. And so I think that there's an assumption that my plan was always
to just keep climbing.
But really, the truth is, if you talk to most political staffers, a lot of them wanted to run before they started working for a congressman, and then they try it, and they're like, no way.
I didn't want
to run before I started working for him. And then I watched what his life was like and thought, no way, that's not for me. It was a pretty quick decision when I did have to make it. And if I'd have had more time, I might have talked myself out of it. But I still feel so lucky, so blessed to be where I am.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear you complain.
That is one thing
I have learned. Nobody wants to hear you complain. They want you to hear them complain. That's my job. But,
it's a one-way communication there, huh?
Yes. I used to feel like I was locked out of the political process. I felt like I had no way to express even misplaced anger. You know, I didn't get a lot of opportunities to talk to even county commissioners and tell them how I felt. And as I started working here in St. George as the deputy county attorney, I started to get that kind of access where I could talk to the county elected officials, even some of the state elected officials. And then when I got to where I could talk to our federal delegation, suddenly it was a whole new world where if there was something that was frustrating me, I knew who to talk to. And I want to make sure people have that. So that's why I come on the radio so often. That's why I do town halls. That's why I'm traveling around the district meeting with people, because I think a lot of people are angry, and with good reason, about things that are happening in this country. But what they don't all have is someone that they can access. Take that anger to, yeah. and get answers.
By the way, speaking of access, we have access to the Congresswoman right now. If you want to call 673-5890, 435-673-5890. I also have them. Reach behind me and get my cell phone. You can text me at 435-467-5842. I won't give out your cell number, but I will give out mine. I'm okay with that.
I think everybody has mine.
Oh, okay.
I can't take credit for the great rain we're having this morning.
Yeah, how'd you do that beautiful? One? Yeah, you're in the Congress ordered rain today.
I guess so. Well, I did drive down from Cedar City this morning, and it was really, really raining coming over the Black Ridge. It was a little bit scary, but I love rain.
Now, do you have pets? Do you have dogs or cats? I guess you can't really as a congressperson, though.
Yeah. No, I am what J.D. Vance refers to as a childless cat woman, only I don't have a cat.
I know a lot of my friends from posts online and talking to Jeremy Larkin. They have pets, and lightning started, really bad lightning started like at 2:30 or 3 this morning, and dogs don't do so well with light. Cats not as much, but dogs don't do so well when there's thunder and lightning, and a lot of my friends are going to be sleep deprived today because they were up babysitting their dogs trying to get them, talk them off of the proverbial ledge. So
not only do I not have a pet, but I sleep really well when there's a storm going on. So
you do.
I got a great sleep last night with the thunder and lightning and rain.
Nice. I did okay. The older you get, the worse you sleep, though, is the truth, especially if you're not in your own bed.
Yeah.
Where do you stay when you're up in Washington, D.C.?
I have an apartment that I stay at, you know, 3 nights a week, 3 weeks a month, basically.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. People don't even think about stuff like that. They're like, well, yeah, you're out there for, you know, periods of time, and you've got to have somewhere to sleep at night, right? Yeah. Do they have like a congressional apartment complex that most of you stay?
No, they don't. Every member of Congress has to find their own.
You're
place.
On your own, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so there are members who live in like one of them will buy a house and then rent out rooms to a bunch of others. So there's a bunch of them that live in these like stud farm kind of living arrangements.
Well, and some of them have a lot of money, too.
Yeah. I'm not one of those.
No.
And then there are some who will sleep in their offices. That doesn't work so well for me. I have to, you know, do hair and makeup, and I can't wear the same suit every day.
No.
That's easier for men. I don't really need the Capitol Police to be part of my morning shower routine. So I have an apartment that I pay for.
All right, let's take a phone call. I believe it's Doug. Doug, are you there?
Yes, Andy, thanks. How are you this morning, you two?
Good. We're operating without a call screener today, and I'm glad you're not a crazy. So thanks for calling in.
I sure hope not. Yes, I didn't catch your name. I'm guessing this is Celeste.
Celeste Malloy, yes, the congresswoman.
Yes. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Doug.
Anyway, just a quick question with the Democrat convention going on. It seems like all as they are is that the Trump hate. I'm waiting to hear policies, this and that. I must admit, I'm not watching it very closely, but from what I can tell, it's all about hating Trump and tearing him down. Ironically, you know, a couple weeks after he's almost got assassinated, they're like, that seems to be all that they've got, you know, is tear down Trump.
I think that is all they've got, Doug. I haven't watched a lot of it, but I've read some of the coverage of it. And, you know, Biden's off the ticket now, and I have to eat some crow there. I didn't think he would ever willingly step down. And now they've got Kamala at the top of the ticket, but she's trying to distance herself from all of Biden's policies, even though she's been the vice president. And so as long as they can keep their base focused on disliking Trump, they don't have to account for any of the things they're actually doing. Mm. And Americans are not happy with their policies. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I'm not happy with how much it cost me to get just some basic groceries.
A $4 loaf of bread is a bad thing?
Yeah. It doesn't feel good to watch my money disappear that quickly. I think you're right, Doug. I think it's a decision they made. I don't think it's an accident or a coincidence that they're avoiding talking about any specific policies, and they're just trying to capitalize on the fear their side has of another Trump presidency. And by the way, I don't think it's going to work. I think at some point Kamala's going to have to talk, and people are going to disagree with her, and Trump's going to win.
Yes, we sure hope so. I guess she's only committed to the one ABC debate, and, mm-hmm. and it's just, yeah, they definitely don't want to put her out there to where she has to answer any questions because, you know.
Because when they do, she talks about price fixing at the grocery store, which has never worked for anybody.
Right, policies that are just terrible. And but my main concern, it's been for over 2 years now, is the mail-in voting. There's just no way we can control that, and I'm one of those. I don't think I'm a conspiracy theorist. I watched that last election, and I watched the midterms, et cetera. And frankly, they leveraged that into their huge favor because of the mail-in voting. You know, the doors are closed. They're running the ballots through the machine all night long. It's just insane. And they got away with it, pointed their finger at us, and says, "You are insane to say that this election
is stolen."
Yeah, they're ready to put me in jail for even questioning that. You know?
Yeah, be careful. You never know who's listening, Doug.
Yeah.
Don't tell us your last name, Doug.
You're right, right. But it's a concern, you know. It's just very sad. So if we didn't have mail-in voting, I'd sure feel a lot better.
Thanks for the call, Doug. It's good to talk to you today. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. You know, I maybe just a quick word on that. I was here covering the election when, you know, Trump and Biden, and I'm not going to throw conspiracy theories or whatever. All I can tell you is at 11 o'clock, the voting was closed. Trump was ahead in all five swing states. I went to bed. I came back 5 hours later to this same studio, and he was behind in all five swing states over the 5 hours when there wasn't supposed to be any vote counting. So a little sus.
I was at a bar in Washington, D.C. I was not drinking, but I was there with a bunch of people from the Trump Interior Department. We were watching election results come in, and we stayed till pretty late. There was a really jubilant mood in the room. Everybody was really excited. And then I went home and slept for a few hours and woke up and saw the same thing. And it was like, wait, what?
What happened,
while we were sleeping?
Yeah, craziness.
But states run elections, and that is the best election security we have, is that each state runs their own elections. And so I feel like I say this a lot, but I say it a lot because I want people to be thinking about this when they're having these conversations. The last thing we should do is nationalize our elections because we're concerned. We need states to keep running elections.
It will get worse, not better.
People need to work with their state legislators and hold their states accountable for how they do election security. But what we don't need is for the federal government to step in and say, this is how you're going to run your elections.
Yeah, good call. Good call. We're talking with Representative Celeste Malloy from the U.S. Congress here on the Andy Griffin Show. Celeste, you have had an opportunity. Now, will you run us through the process of, we always say, you know, this representative introduces a bill. What does that mean? Do you actually write the bill yourself, or a staffer helps you, and then you just put it out there? How does that work?
Yeah, that is a really good question. Usually staffers write bills, sometimes with the help of committee staff with the relevant committee, sometimes with the help of the professional attorneys, drafting attorneys that work for Congress. Because I was a staffer first, I actually did write bills. And some of the bills I've introduced are bills I wrote as a staffer that were Chris Stewart bills, and now they're my bills. For example, we were talking just before we came on the air about the Public Lands Search and Rescue Act.
Yeah.
That's one that I wrote because I had had conversations with sheriffs in Utah about how much it costs them to do search and rescue on these public lands where they're not getting taxes. So the county sheriff has the responsibility for health, safety, and welfare of all the people who are visiting here.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot in Washington County.
A lot. And all over this district, honestly. We're majority public land, and we have world-class scenery, and people come from all over the world to see it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get themselves in trouble.
Yeah.
And our sheriffs don't want to leave people out there to suffer and die, but they also don't have the budget to cover all of the search and rescue responsibilities they have. And a lot of the counties do it with a lot of volunteers. But what this bill does is create a grant program to help them get gear and equipment. Because a lot of times, people who are here recreating have better equipment than our law enforcement does.
Hmm.
And they can get themselves into places that are really tough to get them out of.
And they can't get out.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the day when it was volunteers in Jeeps, they could get to all the places that people could get to. But now that people have really high-powered side-by-sides and really good, you know, rappelling equipment and those kind of things, yeah, they'll get into slot canyons or they'll get out into places that are hard to get them out. Mm. So it's not the entire answer. They're still going to have some uncovered costs of the people who are out doing search and rescue.
Right.
But this is an attempt to help them with the equipment that just isn't in their budgets that they need to be able to save lives.
So it's not necessarily creating a department that the government oversees. Nope. It's just a way to help some of these guys who do the search and rescue to recoup some of their costs.
Yeah, and it only applies to whatever entity is responsible for search and rescue in areas that have a high percentage of public land and a lower population.
So how do you sell something like this to a place that has no public land, has no need for search and rescue? They look at it and they go, I don't care about that. Why would I even look at it?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because that is always the struggle when it comes to everything, you know, public land in the West. Most states don't have this problem, and it's just not a priority for them. This one in particular, when we introduced it as a Stewart bill, he had just done the Congressional Exchange Program with Ed Case from Hawaii. And they don't have the same public lands issues in Hawaii that we have here. But Ed Case is a Democrat, and he's on the Intel Committee. And Chris Stewart is a Republican, and he was on the Intel Committee. And so they went to each other's districts and talked about the things that they were working on as a way of, you know, sort of walk a mile in your shoes. One of the things they talked about when Ed Case was here was search and rescue on public lands, and he heard from the sheriffs. And Hawaii is very different than southern Utah, but it is a tourism area. And he gets that when you have more tourists than you do residents, it brings some problems that are unique. And so he was kind of primed, I think, to be sympathetic. And when he stood out there and saw how big the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument is, how much open, empty space there is for people to go get themselves lost and get in trouble, I think he understood how unfair it is for counties to foot that bill. And so he co-led the bill. So it's a bipartisan bill, and that helps. Yeah. When you're talking to people who don't have this problem, if they see that somebody from a different state with different problems and a different party agrees, then it's easier for them to get on board.
Did you happen to bring Mr. Case to Utah in July, or to St. George in July or August? Because that, you know, it's funny because it's so hot, but that is part of the problem too. We get these people, these tourists come in and it's hot and they get out there in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere and they don't have any water left and they don't have the proper gear and they don't, and I mean, people lose their lives because of the heat.
Yeah. And if you're from a humid area, you don't know how much moisture you lose through sweat in this dry heat. I mean, we laugh about it all the time. Yeah, it's a dry heat. But people who aren't used to it don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. All right, we're talking with Celeste Malloy about bills a little bit. And, you know, you get conjunction, we go back to the, you know, what we learned when we were little kids. What is the progress then right now of the search and rescue bill?
Okay, so it's been introduced in the House, and it'll get referred to a committee. So in order to introduce a bill, I have to take the paperwork, or I have to sign the paperwork and send one of my staff to give it to the clerk of the House.
So you literally have to say, here's the bill, take it over and give it to the clerk.
Yeah, so the term that we use is you drop a bill. And the first time I heard that, I thought, why are they dropping it? To me, dropping sounded like you're done with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But because they would literally drop it in a box at the clerk's office. Now a lot of it's done electronically, but you deliver that, the language and the proper signatures and everything, and the constitutional statement that says where Congress got the authority to do this. You give all that to the clerk of the House. At that point, it's an introduced bill. And that's when you can go to congress.gov and pull it up and find a bill number and see what's in it. And then it gets referred to whatever committee has jurisdiction over that subject matter. So I was on here a few weeks ago and we talked about the permit reform bill that I've introduced, and it's probably going to get referred to several different committees because permitting reform impacts so many different things. This one, the search and rescue bill, will get referred to the Natural Resources Committee, and that's a committee I spend a lot of time with. I know the staff there, I know the leadership there, and that really helps. So they will, in the committee, they'll review the bill, they'll have hearings, they'll have markups. That's where amendments to the bill happen, and then they'll vote to pass it out of committee. After it comes out of committee, that's when it has a chance to go to the floor to be voted on. And if it passes out of the House, then we've got to get a Senate companion to come out of the Senate because now we're back to the schoolhouse rock thing. If you pass it out of the House and out of the Senate and they're the same, then it goes to the president's desk for a signature.
And you talked about companion bills, and we were talking about a bill the other day. There's a companion bill in the Senate of the same thing. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, and how does that come about?
So it means that a senator introduced the same bill. So, for example, with RECA, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, which is currently not authorized because it lapsed, I introduced a clean reauthorization for 2 years. Senator Lee introduced a clean reauthorization for 2 years. We introduced, the exact same bill language so that when the Senate passes theirs and the House passes ours, both chambers will have passed the same bill, and then it can go to the president's desk. Okay. If we pass something out of the House and it hasn't been introduced in the Senate, then it just languishes until someone in the Senate will also introduce it.
Okay. All right. We're learning a lot today on the Andy Griffin Show about bills and how they work. And, you know, sometimes people get intimidated around a congressman or a senator because we don't understand. It's all kind of mysterious. There's a mystique about it all.
That has not been my experience. I need to get more intimidating. Nobody seems to be scared of me yet.
Well, but it is refreshing in that you are very candid and you say, no, this is really how it works. It's not mysterious. There's not a cloud of war or whatever around all this stuff.
Yeah.
It is real. You actually have to send a staffer to take it and give it to a clerk or put it in the clerk's inbox or whatever. That's not mysterious at all. That sounds like real business.
Yeah. It's just busy work. You know, you come up with an idea, then you have to figure out a way to write that idea so that it will do what you want it to do.
Nice.
And then you've got to convince a bunch of other people that it's a good idea and they want to support it.
And good luck convincing some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, is Ethan right outside the door? I think we got a little segment here. We're going to have Ethan come on and talk for a minute. Yeah, there he is. Hi, Ethan. How's it going, man? We're going to let Celeste take a break for a minute.
I've just been enjoying the civics lesson. So.
Yes, we have learned a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Ethan Millard is from Teton Wealth Group, and we just got a little two-minute segment here to talk about what you guys have going on. This is kind of cool. Now, I am getting close to retirement, Ethan, and so I'm thinking, man, it'd be nice to sit around and drink lemonade and, you know, maybe take a couple of trips and not have to worry about anything, but that's not reality unless you get some help.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't want to worry about things, you need to have a plan. Think about what the root of anxiety and worry is. It's lack of information. It's the unknown, right? That's why we're afraid of the dark. This is something we're familiar with. So if you can replace that darkness with some information, illuminate the pathway forward a little bit, boy, you'd be shocked at how that helps with the anxiety and the concern. And we've got a lot of anxiety and concern with things going on right now. Market volatility, inflation, politics. You know, all that's happening, it's got a lot of people concerned. Can I get retired? Can I stay retired? What are my finances going to look like? What if I face bigger than expected tax bills? All of these things are a problem. So let's get a little planning done, and you'll find that there's a pathway forward where you can have success kind of no matter what happens in November. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be independent a little bit from politics and Wall Street?
Yes,
so call right now, 435-255-6331. We're going to do an Ascent plan for you. Now, our Ascent plan is our proprietary process that we developed to serve our client families. It covers the five key areas: your income plan, your investment plan, your tax plan, your health care plan, and your estate plan. You need to put your best foot forward in these five areas. Having a conservative portfolio is great, but that's only one-fifth of a real retirement plan that will give you the kind of confidence you need to really live your purpose. So if you've got a conservative portfolio, but you're still feeling the stress, it's because you're only 20% there, my friend. So let's get you 100% of the way there. 435-255-6331. We include with the Ascent plan, you'll take home a copy of our book, How to Retire Without a Financial Advisor. Between this Ascent plan and this book, you will have the tools that you need to be confident in your retirement and to be confident that you can live independent and really live out your purpose. So 435-255-6331. Again, that's 435-255-6331. We'd love to do one for you.
By the way, Ethan, going to ask about the book. It says by Clayton Alexander with Ethan Miller.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, in pop music, if they have a guest singer, they go featuring, you know, Snoop Dogg or whatever. Why doesn't it say featuring Ethan Miller?
Well, I guess this is how they do it in the literary world. I would have gone with either. I'm just pleased as punch to have my name on the thing.
Yeah, that's
so,
awesome.
You know, they could have titled me with anything.
All right. Again, it's the Ascent Plan, a free consultation with the Teton Wealth Group. The phone number is 435-255-6331. 831. Thank you, Ethan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I look forward to it, Andy. Thanks.
Sounds good. All right, let's get a commercial break in. More with the Congresswoman after we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
I thought they had put a new forecast in the weather. So I apologize. That was last night's forecast, the weather that just played. So I thought they fixed it, but they didn't. So anyway, welcome back. 937 on KDXU. Congresswoman Celeste Molloy is in the house. If you want to talk to her, 673-5890 is the phone number. It's 435-673-5890. That's our number, too, on AM 890, so 5890. And I just got a couple of texts. Let's see. Okay, these are, we'll get to those in a minute. If you want to text me, 467-5842, that's the same area code, 435-467-5842. Now, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit about some of the public feedback you get as a congresswoman. How much of it, say I come to you and I say, Celeste, I don't like the way, I can't even think of a topic right now. I don't like the fact that Utah, 70% of Utah is public, is, you know, federally owned public land.
Yeah.
Can you fix that? You can't technically fix that, but how much of that goes into your ear and you go, yeah, I want to do something about that?
All of it.
All of it? Okay.
And I know that sounds like political speak, but really, if you go look at the bills I've introduced, they are responses to things that I'm hearing from people in Utah.
Okay.
I introduced the Good Samaritan Act. It's a mining bill that makes it easier to clean up abandoned mines.
Week. Yeah.
That isn't something that I dreamt up. It's something that I have been hearing about with my work on public lands over the years.
Hmm.
And speaking of companion bills, the Senate companion bill just passed the Senate.
All right.
So
touchdown.
It's kind of rare that the Senate passes one first that we already have introduced in the House. So that makes me really optimistic we can get something done with this one. So yes, when people call me, in fact, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I voted on the TikTok bill to tell China they have to divest of TikTok or they can't operate in this country. I started hearing from small businesses in Utah because I'm also on the small business committee. And they said TikTok is the only social media platform that's friendly to small businesses. And they started sending me information on what TikTok does to help them be able to get to their clients and sell their products. And so I went to the chair of the small business committee and said, hey, this is, you know, I don't want China spying on people, but this is actually a small business issue that's impacting my constituents. And so he and I are working together on maybe some ways to address that so that we can keep China from collecting information on people, but also not harm small businesses in Utah who are using TikTok as a way to get to their customers.
All right. That's a good example and something we don't necessarily think about with TikTok. I remember TikTok bad, Temu or whatever bad because they're Chinese companies. But, I guess you got to look at the other side of the coin and say, well, how does that actually fit in with Americana? I mean, let's face it, you like TikTok or not. Guess what? If especially a girl aged 11 to 16, you're on TikTok every single day watching videos.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have a business that caters to that age group, then you probably need TikTok. So, interesting. All right, let's go to the phone line. Hey, thanks for calling in. Who's this?
This is Sherry.
Sherry, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Oh,
Sherry, my phone, you were talking to her.
My phone picked up on that, Sherry. That was weird. Anyway, go ahead. You're talking with Celeste Molloy and Andy. What's up?
Hi, Celeste.
Hi.
Hey, I have a couple of things. So, we listen and we're watching all this is taking place in our country, and we have our representatives from the state of Utah who are amazing, but we always just hear about all the things that are happening. They're doing this. The Biden's doing this. And I, my question I say to myself all the time, well, what are we doing about it? Because I feel like there's a lot of, we're seeing all the things, but I'm not seeing us doing things, if that makes any sense. Like, we're not jumping in and saying, oh, no, not in our state. And it just seems like this, we're just kind of like, letting it happen. And maybe I'm just blind, but I feel like I'm pretty in tune with things, but it just feels like out of control. And if I know the state of Utah people, we don't let stuff like that happen. Like we have, you know, real dogs in the fight. And would you say we're in there not in our country? Not, I mean, I just feel like we're like on an out of control train track that's like going to derail pretty quick. And so I don't even know if that's a question or a comment or
well,
what
I'm
do
gonna,
you think?
I'm going to treat it like a question and I'm going to answer it. I hear what you're saying. We hear a lot of things about what's happening in this country, the things that are happening that shouldn't be happening. And I think what you're asking is, what are our representatives in Utah doing to stop it? Because we're hearing about all these out of control things, and what we're not hearing is what our elected officials are doing to get it back under control. Is that fair? That's what you're getting at? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot. And if you're not hearing about it, that means we're failing at the part of our job that is reporting back to you about what we're doing. So hopefully we can remedy that here today. That's why I'm here. But, you know, I said when I was first running, before I was in office, I would say all the time that don't forget the only thing standing between the American people and the kind of huge spending bills we were having 4 and 5 years ago is the House of Representatives. We have a tiny little majority in the House, but we're holding that line. Those big spending bills aren't getting through. That doesn't make as big of a headline. You know, big spending bills don't make it through Congress. Doesn't make the headline that, you know, the bipartisan infrastructure bill got because it did make it through. And so a lot of what we're doing is just swatting things down and holding the line and stopping things from going through. For example, we've got congressional review acts introduced on a lot of the things that the Biden administration's doing. And a Congressional Review Act comes out of Congress. It not only kills a rule, but it says that no substantially similar rule can ever be proposed again without congressional approval. Those are a really useful, really hefty tool that we have in Congress that we've been using, but it doesn't garner the kind of attention that some other things do. But it is a great example of us holding the line. The other thing we are good at, I think, in the Utah delegation is working with the state. I try to stay out of their lane and not tell them what to do, but we coordinate a lot of times on things that we're both working on. So you may have seen this week that the Utah Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit on public lands. And that's something that we were all briefed on in the federal delegation, and we talked to them about, and we said, yes, this is something we support. And when they first talked to me about it, I said, you know, if you're going to sue for title of these BLM lands, for example, the people who are grazing on those lands need to have some reassurance that their prior existing rights are going to be protected. Yeah. And so Carl Albrecht from Richfield introduced a bill in the state legislature this last legislative session to make that clear, that if Utah gets title to the land, they'll recognize grazing rights. So this isn't something that inadvertently ends up hurting Utahns. You probably didn't hear a lot about that, but those are the kind of things that we're doing quietly every day, making sure that we're working together to protect Utahns and to fight back against out of control government. That's my biggest thing, is trying to claw back our rights from the federal government. We have way more government than we need. The government's involved in way too many of our decisions and the things we do every day. And if I'm doing my job well, you're breathing easier at the end of the day, but you may not realize everything that has happened to make it so that you are more free and have less government intervention. So I hear you, and what I'm getting out of this is that I need to be better about showing up and talking about what we're doing just to stop things from getting put in place. And we also need to be better about talking about what we're doing proactively.
And I think that's great. I think in this society, we need to hear more about what's happening instead of all the nonsense, the negative, the, you know, I mean, I know that's the news lines, but man, it would be a breath of fresh air to hear, yeah, we did this and not all the other garbage that we're hearing. It's kind of getting a little scary out there, you know, and it's just to have some hope in our state and in, you know, like I said, I've always felt like our state, we're leaders, we're strong, and there's it's a little, I mean, you know, I'm older and I'm looking at it and I'm like, it's not, I don't feel as secure. And that's scary.
Now,
and
you know, Sherry, you're not that old, Sherry. Come on.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But anyway, that I do think that's a great focus, is to talk about more what we are doing instead of what the trouble is, I guess.
Yeah, good point.
Something. And then if I could have one more second, sure. I will hurry. I had a friend yesterday, and I'm a pretty reliable source, but was in court yesterday, and the person was sworn in, and they said, you know, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, but the so help me God part was left off. And I was really shocked to hear that. And I'm like, is that a federal? Is that a state? Is that a local?
With Celeste Malloy. More with Celeste on the Andy Griffith Show in, what, about 90 seconds?
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffith Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, the time is drawing nigh. If you want to talk to the Congresswoman, give me a call right now, 673-5890. We're down to 8 minutes left on the program. You can text me, too, at 467-5842. Text from somebody said, Celeste is running for re-election. Your timing for her to be on your show begs the question, are you going to interview the other candidates, including significant write-ins? One thing I want to make very clear, the law is, by the FCC, is very clear about this. If we don't talk about the election, interviewing a sitting congressperson or governor or mayor or whatever, if we don't talk about the election, then I am under no legal obligation to put opponents on. And I guess your only opponent, your Democratic opponent, is from Carbon County or something anyway, which I don't know. They get a lot of listeners here. So
I have no control over what you do on your show. But just for this listener, I will say I am always a big proponent of hearing from everybody.
Yeah.
I think if you are the best candidate, that will show through when they hear from everybody. So I appreciate the sentiments that are being expressed there. Also, cool. I can't believe we're down to 8 minutes.
I agreed
to come on for an hour, I thought we'd run out of things to talk about. No, we still have lots of things we haven't covered.
Lots of things to talk about. There's one question I've been wondering. You came on when you first got put in. You said, oh, man, you know what? The for the most part, these are good people, these, you know, Congress people, good people trying very hard to improve their country. But Celeste, I got to ask you, there's got to be one or two that you just roll your eyes and you're like, oh my gosh.
There are probably more than one or two, but I don't know them very well.
Okay.
So there's 438 when you count non-voting members. And that's a lot of people to know. I mean, I don't know.
And it changes every couple of years. And
Even since I got sworn in 9 months ago, there are about five new people. And so everybody's trying to keep up all the time. And so you kind of find your friends, you have your posse, and then you have your people that you know on committees. So some of the really prominent people in Congress that everybody loves to hate, they always want to ask me about. I don't know some of them very well. And some of them are much nicer in person than you would think from watching them on the news.
Good point. I just got a text. I guess while you were answering the question about the So Help Me God in court, we had a National Weather Service alert, and so they didn't get to hear your answer. So if you could maybe real quickly go over that. We're down to now 5 minutes left.
Okay, so it's a religious freedom thing. In this country, you can't force somebody to invoke the name of God, just like you can't force somebody to pledge allegiance to the flag. But I believe you have the option of saying, So Help Me God. But I need to do some research on where exactly that came from, that we no longer require it. But this is a First Amendment issue. Yeah. You are free to worship God in this country, but we are not going to force you while you're under oath to invoke the name of God.
Very good. Very good. A couple of other, I know you, a couple of things you wanted to mention before we run out of time, some of the bills you're working on.
Yeah, so I've got a whole bunch of them. Oh, sorry, I'm beating up your microphone here. If you go to congress.gov and type in my name, you can see every bill that I've introduced, every bill that I'm a co-sponsor on. But one of the ones I want to talk about really quickly is the Water Rights Protection Act, because I think that's one that really matters to people here in Southern Utah. This is a bill that ensures that the federal government can't step on the state's jurisdiction over water. So we've had incidents in the past where a federal agency says, if you want to renew your grazing permit, we have to co-own your water right. Or in order to permit a ski resort, we have to have co-ownership of the water right. They don't have the ability to do that. The state has jurisdiction over water. And the state already passed a bill to clarify that. But sometimes states get a little squeamish about defending that against federal agencies because of the supremacy clause, they get nervous. So this just makes it very clear that the federal government can't coerce state water rights in order to use federal land, which is a big issue here. So, I said earlier, the things I'm working on are coming from conversations I have with Utahns and the concerns they have. This is a good example of it. Also the Hydro Act, when we're in drought years and we're not producing as much hydro power as we usually do, then not only does that hydropower get more expensive because you're still maintaining all the dams but not getting as much power out of them, and then our municipal power providers have to go out on the open market and buy power. Replacement power. Yeah. So this forces the federal government to be a team player in those scenarios and lower the cost of the hydro power and not charge the full O&M cost, operation and maintenance costs of the dams, to people who are already have to go out and replace that power at a high rate. And that's good for Utah's power end users. The people who are paying power bills for their house are the ones who are going to bear the cost of that. So all things I'm trying to do to respond to what people in Utah need and the things the federal government's doing to make our lives harder, I'm always trying to push that back. And I'm always trying to pull back the curtain and show people how to push that back.
Yeah, good. Good for you. We like to hear that. I know you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know what's going to happen in November. But as far as the House of Representatives, you mentioned your slim majority. Will it be maintained or even get better in November, do you think? Or I mean, just a guess.
I don't have a crystal ball, so anybody out there who watches the news and follows politics, their guess is as good as mine.
Right.
I still feel confident we're going to get the White House. The math is definitely in our favor in the Senate. I actually think the House is the hardest one for us to hold on to because everybody in the House is up for election. You don't have, in the Senate, only a third of them are up at a time. So there's some seats you're going to hold. And right now there's more Democrat seats at play than Republican seats. So I feel like we have a pretty good chance for the Senate. But with the entire House up for grabs, there's still a lot of swing districts out there. But the fact that Kamala is not a very strong candidate and Trump is a strong candidate and we know what a Trump economy looks like, I think will help down ballot for these House races. I'm not sure there's still a lot of people out there who vote for a Republican president and a Democrat member of the House.
Okay. So. Yeah, that makes sense. When we think about things like you mentioned going to the grocery store and, I mentioned a loaf of bread's $4 now or five, and depending on what kind of bread you get, a gallon of gas is what it is. And when people come to you and complain about inflation, do you feel as helpless as we do, or do you feel like that you can do something about it? And we have a minute left.
Okay. It's kind of a combination for me. A lot of the things that are contributing to inflation are executive branch decisions that I don't have a lot of control over.
Right.
But as a member of the legislature, I do have the ability to work with my colleagues to pass bills that override those things. So I feel like I've got to use all of the abilities I do have, without giving people the impression that we can just fix inflation overnight. We have to keep working to fix inflation.
Yes, we do. And hopefully in November, we carry the White House, we carry the Senate, and fingers crossed, we carry the House as well.
From your lips to God's ears. Let's go do it.
Let's do it. She's Celeste Malloy. Celeste, always a good sport coming in. And like I said, even though we talk about maybe you're not intimidating, maybe there's not as much mystique, I feel refreshed in knowing that you're very candid and you just come here and speak the truth. I love that.
Thanks. I'll keep coming back.
Thanks for coming. You're welcome always on the Andy Griffin Show. Gotta go, folks. Thanks for listening.